You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Centre. For more information, visit www.lmc.org.au.
Who's done their Christmas shop? Who's done all their Christmas shopping? Hands up. Come on, that means most of the rest of you haven't. Don't be scared, I'm not going to get you up on stage. Who's done their Christmas shopping? Oh gee, there's a lot to go. Big shopping this week. I've got 3 presents to buy this year. I'm impressed with that. Claudia's impressed with that. I think I brought 2 last year. But I've got to get that done by Christmas Day, I've been told. I was meant to have it done last week, but I still didn't have it done. So I was in a bit of trouble. But Christmas has been an interesting thing in our place. We have these serious discussions with our boys. And we try and sit round the table with them and just chat about different things about life. And it's a very difficult thing to get them to be serious. They like to elbow each other, pull faces at each other, and there's all sorts of threats that come from the parents for them to sit there and listen carefully and listen quietly. But there is a moment where they get very serious. And we've had many discussions over the last 6 months about Christmas. And they get very serious right at the time that you don't want them to be serious, right at the time it's bedtime, it's half an hour after bedtime, and they call you in, they're meant to be asleep, and they say, "Dad, I need to talk to you about something." "What, son?" "I need to talk to you about Christmas presents and what I want." Now that's happened many times, and I do tend to get a little bit of a twitch at about 8:30 or 8:45 at night when they're meant to be asleep. But this continues on and on and on, and it has been going, and I think the last time was about a week ago where they wanted to talk about what kind of presents they want. I think next year I'm going to buy my presents in January and there'll be no discussions all year about what Christmas presents they're getting. So it's an interesting thing leading up to Christmas. That's not what I'm talking about this morning, but let's pray and let's see what God's going to show us today. Father, we just thank you for your word. We just thank you for life with you. And Lord, as I bring your word this morning, it's important that it's you that speaks and not me. And so, Lord, let your Holy Spirit do a great work today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to talk to you this morning about codependent Christianity. And I've got a couple of assistants, if I can have my 2 assistants, if I can have Aaron to come and assist me this morning, if I have Dave Stewart to come and assist me. Thanks, Dave. I told you I was going to do it. You didn't believe me. And if you can stand either side of me. Now, let's pretend, just not too close. Step back a bit, boys. There's a lot of people watching here. Now we're pretending here, okay, so don't take it literal. Let's pretend Dave is God. Okay, I know it's hard to believe, but let's pretend Dave is God. Okay, and Aaron is just one of us. You're one of us, Aaron. You look fantastic. You look fantastic too, God. Great. Okay, so what I'm talking about this morning is codependent Christianity. But I just wanted to illustrate something this morning. Now, I happen to be another person in between God and Aaron. And Aaron's looking to see who God is, what he says about him, what he says about life. And what codependent Christianity is basically Aaron, instead of seeing God, sees me. And so Aaron might be the sort of person who's wanting to know things about God, and we have a friendship, and he talks to me, and I might say things to him like, "Aaron, you know what? It really doesn't matter if you don't go to church as a Christian." And you know, there's an element, a small element of truth in that statement. But Aaron carries that on board, and so he doesn't go to church as a Christian. Now, we know in the Bible that the Bible talks about the reasons why you should go to church, and I'm not going to go into them now, but they're very important reasons. Okay? But Aaron takes that on board, and so his relationship with God is based around what I say to him. And I might say to him something like, "God helps those who help themselves." Now, we've heard that statement many, many, many times. But guess what? That is not from the Bible. The Bible does not say God helps those who help themselves. So if you ever hear someone say that, it's not from the Bible. And I guess what I'm saying about codependent Christianity is it's got to be based on what God says and what He says. And so when we have relationships with other people, let us be sure that we're not living out our Christian life on the basis of what others say. Or secondly, on the basis of what has happened to us in life, situations that may have happened to us in life. Let us be careful that, like, you know, someone might have been said that to them as a youngster that they'll never amount to anything. And they've carried that in their life all their lives, and so that is who God is to them. And so the shadow of a situation or person lives in between them and God. And that is who they see God is. Thanks, guys. Sit down. Give them a hand. I just wanted to illustrate that fairly simply. Here I have, I don't know whether anyone knows what this is. What is that? That's a plumb bob. Okay. So that is a plumb line. Now, we've been selling wallpaper at Bunnings. Now, for the life of me, I thought when I started at Bunnings 12 years ago, it was the end of all wallpaper. But some crazy person has just decided that it's something that we need to get again and have wallpaper in Bunnings. Well, we have lots of discussions with people. I have never ever put wallpaper on a wall in all my life. And I hopefully never will. We're not having wallpaper, honey, okay? We'll paint, but we won't have wallpaper. Okay? And so people come in and they want to know, they've never done wallpaper before in their life. And they want to know how to roll wallpaper. And you say to them, well, do you know what to do? And they say, yeah, start in a corner and you work your way across. No, you don't start in a corner and work your way across. Because we all know there is never a perfectly straight wall or floor or ceiling. There never is. The walls of life are never perfectly straight. And often if you start in a corner on a wall and work your way across, you will end up with inconsistent gaps on the other side and things will be out of whack. So what you've got to do is you hang this just off centre in a wall, as in you pretty much hang it halfway between the distance of a full width of wallpaper, and you hang it straight, and then you run the wallpaper straight down where the plumb line is, and then you work your way out. Now, it doesn't mean the walls are going to be perfectly straight, but it's going to make sure that you have the best chance of getting the wallpaper looking straight on a wall that may not be straight. The walls of life are not always perfectly straight. We need to work off a plumb line to see the best things to do in that. Let me explain to you a little bit more about codependent Christianity. So stay with me. As a plumb line, a great scripture that works with a plumb line is that there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. And it's important that we work off the plumb line. The plumb line is God and His Word. Codependent Christianity is living the Christian life and making decisions in life based on other people, the way they live, their thoughts on life, what they have said, or what they say about you or about God. They could be on feelings about past situations or events they have been involved with or even hurt by, rather than how God sees them and sees life. As I talk this morning, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about all advice we get or relationships we've had or have or past events. I'm talking about an unhealthy dependence on those things when they lead you up the wrong path. Often codependent Christians are people pleasers. They become so entangled in another's life and problems that they lose their own self they lose their own sense of identity and self-worth. Constantly looking to others for validation, they seek approval at all costs and will do whatever is necessary to please others. They often lack the ability to set clear boundaries, not knowing when to say yes and when to say no to themselves or others. Fuzzy boundaries are a symptom of low self-esteem. They stem from negative thought patterns such as, if I say no, they won't like me. A common trait is the idea that if they could only get God to fit their world or to change, their problems in life would be solved. Their belief is also that others have the ability to determine their decisions. They could make them angry or happy or sad. Excuses, tolerating and covering up bad behaviour of the person they are dependent on or the situation is one thing that is evident, even when the behaviour is habitual or extreme. This codependency can stem back from words spoken over someone's life, like I mentioned earlier. This can often have a long-lasting or a life-lasting effect. Words like, you will never amount to anything. You are and will never be good enough. Why can't you be like your brother? Are you stupid? What's wrong with you? You were an accident. These can sometimes become gospel or truth in someone's life and have outworkings of fear, insecurity, and extremely low confidence. One common hindrance to the healing process is a stubborn defence of their past and possibly associations with it. Often they will pretend things weren't or aren't that bad and find looking inward extremely painful. When the codependent Christian refuses to face the reality that past events were unhealthy or the people they have been or are connected with are showing unhealthy signs, they can sometimes continue to recreate the past by repeating unhealthy patterns of behaviour. With trust often broken, people then find it very difficult to trust what God says about life and about them. And even though God wasn't responsible, well, if he was, he should be good enough to take care of it. Thought patterns like that take place. Sometimes the walls of life, as I explained before, can be out of alignment for different reasons. Sometimes situations or events are totally out of our hands and out of our control. Sometimes it's just plainly that we make poor decisions. And sometimes it's because some relationships we keep are not healthy and we don't know how to deal with this. Sometimes we have tried to trust God and what he says in the past and found things too painful to face because it's never changed things. This morning I want to give a testimony of my life and about the impact that the past has had on my life and how things have changed over the years. Just for you guys who don't know, and some of you will know my story, some won't, my dad is a pastor. He's an awesome guy. My mum is an awesome mum, and I am one of five. I am 16 years younger than my oldest sibling. I have one sister who is 61, and I continue to tell her that she's 61 and that she's over 60 and that she's very old. My next oldest is my brother. He's bigger and uglier than me, and I don't tease him about his age because he still hurts when he hits. He's 60, and then I have another brother who is 58, and then I have a sister who is 53. And my family, my dad became a pastor when the rest of the family were fairly young, And so they, I think one of their first appointments was in a place called Kerrang, and we, some of you might know where Kerrang is, up in the middle of Victoria. And so they've had numerous appointments around the state, and so when I came onto the scene, they were in Sunshine. They lived in Sunshine out in the west. That's where Dale comes from, out in the west. So don't hold it against me because I live out for where Dale comes from. And he's a bit rough around the edges, and at times I can be a bit rough, but hopefully that's been beaten out of me. But Sunshine was an interesting place. My dad ran a thing called Crossroads out at Sunshine, and it was a big youth centre. And it would basically have between 300 and 700 people, and I'm talking teenagers. Sunshine was a pretty young sort of place in those days. He would have between 300 and 700 people set 5 nights a week to this place called Crossroads, and there were all sorts of different people groups, and it was pretty rough. And I tried to take my dad on when I was about 14 or 15. I tried to wrestle him once, and he showed me what he used to do to those young 15, 16-year-olds that they used to try and wrestle him at those stages. And I think I lay on the bed very sore for about an hour after he showed me what he used to do to those 15-year-olds. So I never crossed him again. But it's just interesting growing up in Sunshine. We were there for 7 years, and then we moved to Moonee Ponds, where Dad was a pastor for I think 4 or 5 years there, and it was a great church. It was a vibrant church. From there we moved down to a place called Balnarring on the peninsula. We lived there for 2 or 3 years, and then we moved to Tyabb, which is just a little bit away from there. And I bought a place in Somerville when I was in my early 20s, and from there I've moved out here. So that's a bit of an overview of where I've been in life. Before I started youth pastor here in 2000, I worked in a timber place down on the peninsula called Everest Timber. I was there for I think 13 or 14 years. And I ran the business there for about 6 years. And they were interesting times and good times. And if I look back and I look back on my life, when I was 12 or 13, I took a pretty big hit. Because I was abused by a member close to our family. And it was a painful experience. And it went for a time, and for a long time I covered that up, and it was very, very painful. And I know that as I've slowly but surely worked through that situation, I've seen God at work in my life. Through my 20s, and you know, even early 30s, the outworking of this very much had the basis of insecurity, because in people looking at me and seeing me, they may not have seen that and perceived that, but deep down I was very insecure. And if I can give you an understanding to the sort of insecurity that I had, is even when I preached messages at youth and even at church, I needed to be encouraged for that. Now, we all need encouragement, and I know that. But I would even angle conversations to try and get those words of encouragement to me, because of that insecurity in me, that I just, there was something that I didn't feel worthy in myself, and it was an extremely hard place to be at. And almost working through that happened with a work of God's grace in my life. And I can tell you, when God gets hold of something, and he will get hold of it if we let him, he can turn everything around. And for me, he has turned it around. And I have a confidence now that I've never had. I have a confidence in God, and that's where the confidence lies. It's not in me. My confidence is in God. And my confidence is in believing what he says, not what other people say, not what might be right, not what my experience tells me, not what my feelings tell me, but I believe what he says. And I can tell you that it's still a process of working through. But I know that each one of us, somewhere at some point, have either had very negative experiences. You might be listening to people who have chinks in their life that are, you know, saying things that don't make sense and don't line up with what God says. But God's done an incredible work in my life. The Bible says that God has begun a good work in us, and he is faithful to complete it. Now, if I try and complete it, it's going to be a lot of hard work. But with my hand in God's and knowing that he's going to do it, it's going to be a good ride. Not always easy. The walls of life aren't always going to be straight, but the wallpaper will go out nice and straight and easy if we work off the plumb bob or the plumb line of God. Sherilyn, if you can come near. Whatever the case, God is there for us with the plumb line. And our role, my role, is to believe. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, faith is simply believing that what God says is true. Because we don't... That song at the start was just awesome. We don't work by what we feel. We work by what we see. As with all life's challenges, the solutions to this are found in God's words, God's word. The Bible tells us in Genesis 1:27 that God created man in his own image. It goes on to say, God saw all that he made, and it was very good. Dealing with unclear boundaries and low self-esteem, and things people have said about us that we believe, are much easier when we know who we are in Christ. Then we do not base our Christian life on the acceptance or approval of others or past situations. Who we believe is very important. You know, there's some ratbags out there, and there's some people that their lives don't necessarily line up with what God says. But you know, Psalm 33 verse 6 says this: by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, all their host by the breath of his mouth. God created the heavens and the earth by the breath of his mouth. Not by his hands, by the breath of his mouth. He created you by the breath of his mouth. Who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the walls of life and the cards that they throw you and what people say? Or you're going to believe the God that created the heavens and the earth by the breath of his mouth? Just want to show you a couple of pictures of some things. I asked some people this week some of the things that I said, what do you love about some of the things that God has created, or what are the things that you go, wow, when God has created. But I've just got a couple of pictures up here. If we can, I'll tell you when to move them on. He created the earth. He created that by the breath of his mouth. Next one, Phil. Someone said flowers. Well, about four people said flowers. What is it that you love? I love the flowers. God created those flowers by the breath of his mouth. Next one, Phil. The springbok. I reckon God must have had a good time and a good laugh when he created some of the things. If you've ever seen those springboks in action, they are amazing. God created that by the breath of his mouth. Next one, Phil. The baby in the womb. Look at that. The whole process of birth. Psalm 139. I created you. I knew you before a word was on your tongue. I knew you. Next one. The galaxies. I watched a thing the other day. Was how great is our God? And the preacher was talking about the different stars and how big they were. It is mind-blowing to us, the size that we are and the size of the stars and the galaxy. And God created the galaxies by the breath of his mouth. By the breath of his mouth. Next one. Fish of the sea. I got the chance when I was travelling around Australia to go to Ningaloo Reef over in WA, and I got the chance to put my head under with goggles, and the number of different fish were incredible. There's just two of them, the same type. But he created all those fish and the sea by the breath of his mouth. Next one, Phil. Someone said a tree on the side of a hill. By the breath of his mouth. Next one. Lightning, thunderstorms. I love the power of God that we see in lightning and thunderstorms. It is amazing. By the breath of his mouth. It was created. Next one. Ladybugs. Isn't that incredible? Look at that. Look at the detail. By the breath of his mouth, he created them. Next one, Phil. Anyone ever been for a swim in the ocean when the waves are pulling you around? They could just throw you around. I don't know whether I'd want to be in them. I'm certainly no surfer. But God created that by the breath of his mouth. Next one, Phil. One of my favourite animals. The lion. Majestic. By the breath of his mouth. If we can put that scripture up, Phil. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all their host by the breath of his mouth. This is what God says about you. This is what God says about life. And I just want you to read and listen. Some of them will be up on the screen. John 1:12. says, I am a child of God. John 15:15 says, I am Christ's friend. John 15:16 says, I am chosen and appointed by Christ to bear his fruit. Romans 5:1 says, I have been justified, completely forgiven and made righteous, and am at peace with God. Romans 8:1 says, I am forever free from condemnation. Romans 8:14 and 15 says, I am a son of God, and we can call him Father. Romans 8:17 will be on your screen. I am an heir of God and a fellow heir with Christ. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born of natural, not of natural descent, nor human decision or husband's will, but born of God. To those who believed in his name. Psalm 138 verse 8 says, I have confidence that he will fulfill his purpose. And the scripture is, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. Romans 15:7 says, Christ has accepted me. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, I have been placed in Christ by God's doing. Christ is now my wisdom, my God, my righteousness, my sanctification, and my redemption. 1 Corinthians 2:12 says, I have received the Spirit of God into my life that I might know the things freely given to me by God. 1 Corinthians 2:16, I have been given the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 6:19, I am a temple, a home of God, his Spirit, his life dwells in me. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, I've been bought with a price. I am not my own. I belong to God. 2 Corinthians 1:21, I have been established in Christ and anointed by God. 2 Corinthians 5:17, one of my favourite scriptures. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19. I am reconciled to God and I am a minister of reconciliation. Galatians 2:4. I have freedom in Christ Jesus. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. The life I am now living is in Christ's life. Galatians 3:26 and 28. I am a child of God and one in Christ. Ephesians 1:3. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Ephesians 1:4. I was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world to be made holy and without blame before him. Ephesians 1:7-8. I've been redeemed and forgiven and am a recipient of his lavish grace. I'll just follow these without reading the scripture. I've been made alive together with Christ. I am God's workmanship, created in Christ to do his work that he planned beforehand that I should do. I've been brought near to God. I may approach God with boldness and confidence. His peace guards my heart and mind. Colossians 1:13 on the screen. I have been delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of Christ. Colossians 2:20. I have been made complete in Christ. Once again, I'll follow without the scripture names. I've died and my life is now hidden with Christ in God. I am chosen of God, holy and dearly loved. Because I am sanctified and am one with Christ, he is not ashamed to call me his. I may come boldly before the throne of God to receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I've been given God's precious and magnificent promises by which I am a partaker of his divine nature. God has bestowed a great love on me and called me his child. 1 John 4:17 says this, that we can have confidence. In this union and communion with him, love is brought to completion and attains perfection with us, that we may have confidence for the day of judgment with assurance and boldness to face him, because as he is, so are we in this world. If I can have the worship team up here, please. Who are you going to believe today? Is it going to be a past situation? What someone told you? What's happened in your life? Or is it going to be what God says? What God says about you? If I can get you all to stand. I'm not sure where you're at today, or whether what I've said rings true with you. You know, I've thought about this and I've prayed about this week, and I just wondered whether this needed a response. And I want to sing this last song. If God's been speaking to you this morning about codependent Christianity, where you may have found that you haven't been listening to God and your life's outworkings have reflected the walls of life rather than the plumb line, the Bible says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But you know, sometimes a response is a great thing, because all you do is you walk forward. You say, God, I want to set things right. I want to put things back in the plumb line. I'm not going to listen to what's happened in the past. As much as I still need healing, I'm not going to listen to those. I'm going to get a direct line with you, and I'm going to base my life on the plumb line. You know, it doesn't matter whether it's been out of whack, because God can straighten it up. And God can sort things. And so if that's you this morning, if you know God's been talking to you, we're going to sing this song. Don't wait. Just come forward. If you know that's God talking to you, come forward. We'll just say a quick prayer, and then we'll close the meeting this morning. There's a thing in the Bible called repentance. And repentance isn't one of those, you know, massive things that's really hard to deal with. All repentance is a change of mind. And today, if you need a change of mind, that's all it is. God sees your heart. He knows what's going on. It's time to believe what God says. Let's sing.